This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Off the Record with Shivago Lang is sponsored by Royal Fidelity Bank and Trust, Burger King, Royal Star Assurance, Atlantis Paradise Island, the Water and Sewage Corporation, and the Ministry of Health.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. I hope all is well with you. If you want to give us a call at all today, the numbers are 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316, 325-4316. Or 325-4259. That's 325-4259. You can also text us on 4224796. That's 4224796. So you can WhatsApp me on 4393043. We are, of course, live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969. That's the way my mother listens to the show. You can catch us on BTC Flow channel 612. It's BTC Flow Channel 612. So among other things today, we want to talk about the likely next leader of the Free National Movement and like probably next leader of the official opposition. Let me get myself in trouble. Mr. Michael Pintard, who announced officially his entrance into now a three-way race for leadership in the Free National Movement. And thus far as we know, all three of the contenders are from Grand Bahama. That would be Mr. Iram Lewis, Member of Parliament for Central Grand Bahama, Mr. Kwesi Thompson, who is the Member of Parliament for East Grand Bahama, and of course now Mr. Michael Pintard, the Member of Parliament for Marco City. Mr. Pintard had a very potent speech, obviously a speech that had a great deal of thought go into it in terms of addressing all of the delicacies, let's say the delicate challenges that confront the Free National Movement. Especially, he said, he is able to unite the various factions in the Free National Movement. And to be sure, the Free National Movement seemed considerably fractured under the tenure of Dr. Menace's leadership, which still now continues until it changes, if it changes, come the next convention. Considerably fractured, but in fairness, the Free National Movement has known fractures for many, many years of its existence. And anyone who knows the history of it, who's been involved with it, would know that it isn't unusual in the Free National Movement to talk about the Turnquest faction, even the Bethel faction. And then with the entrance of Mr. Ingram, you know, you have the Ingramites, you have the Cecilites, you may even have a Boswick faction. So it isn't a story per se that there are factions in the Free National Movement. There are even in the Progressive Liberal Party, because it was you know, anyone who knows that history would know, you know, the most consolidated they were was under Sir Lyndon. There's no question about that. And strong, compelling leaders tend to provide that kind of consolidation, even if there may be, even if there are cliques within the body of the following, there tends to be less serious factions because there isn't really any contenders for the position of that powerful leader. And so Lyndon was a powerful leader, right? But you know that there were factions because in the end, was it not Sir Cecil who left the Progressive Liberal Party with the other dissident eight to form the Free National Movement? So you know that there was a faction, right? So then, but again, when you have strong leaders, they tend to be able to survive those in significant ways. But there were definitely factions in the FNM over time, and there became a kind of, it was a different faction under the minister, I think. That faction was more one of the new folk, the newer, we weren't really left, considered under the Ingram folks and the Minnis folks, you know, so. And then most of the Ingram folks were like the old guard folk, kind of folk. And so, you know, but Mr. Pintard rightly understands and recognizes that if he is going to succeed as leader, if he is going to be able to reunite the forces of the Free National Movement, then it's going to have to be some mending of those factions. May not be able to get rid of them, but there has to be, they have to see in him the possibility of victory and progress for their factions and the whole. And so he zoomed in on that. And it was, if you notice in his speech, he was careful to call the names of Mr. Ingram, who he thanked for giving him an opportunity initially to run. Dr. Minnis, notwithstanding the relationship that they had, many, I don't even think that was an open secret, that there was not a good relationship there, but he thanked him because he did serve in his cabinet. So he wasn't alienating that faction, wasn't alienating the Ingram faction that felt alienated under the Minnis administration, for sure. Right, and then Dr. Minnis himself started that alienation with his pronouncement that the Ingram era was over after the by-election there in North Abaco, after Mr. Ingram retired, started that. There was not too many Ingram's admirers who took kindly to that kind of talk. But he mentioned them. He mentioned the trailblazers who had set the tone and talked about the newbies who had a role to play, et cetera. And so he kind of tried to make everybody feel like there was a place for them, which is an important thing to do in words, but also particularly important to do in deeds. And so he started out with them. Then he went on to say some things about what the Bahamian people are looking for. And I was curious to know from you whether you are in agreement with these things that he says you are yearning for. These were his words. He said, tonight we have an opportunity to renew our commitment to rededicate ourselves to serving our people with humility. Listen to the words, humility. A quiet, firm resolve that we will work tirelessly to improve their lives. He said, join me in creating a movement that is dedicated to eliminating old, persistent problems left unresolved for years despite pre-election promises. Now, this is a very bold proclamation, statement, and he's taking on some heavy lifting here because these persistent problems persist for a reason, and to take up the challenge of trying to resolve them is to really take on a monumental challenge. I want to say that it's monumental, but that's what you got to be in leadership, is you got to be bold. You have to challenge yourself. You have to fear your own vision sometimes because of its loftiness, because of its weightiness. And so he simply says, he's digging right in to the heavy stuff. And he says, our people are yearning for, and I'm asking you, are you yearning for leaders that have a sense of urgency about solving real problems? Real problems? So you, your leadership over time, Sir Lyndon, Ingram, those have not been solving your real problems? Or is he saying that they may have been among those solving real problems, but you are still yearning for leadership that solves real problems? They wanted decades complications involving commonage and generation land solved, he said. They want to know that when it comes to opportunities for leasing land and having crown grants issued to them to run commercially viable agriculture and industrial enterprise, they are not waiting for years and less consideration than someone who has traveled from halfway around the world and after two hurricanes no longer have the appetite to take risk in the land. We have no intention of leaving. Broken some sentiments right there for sure that people tend to have. I just stoking a little bit of emotional stuff that, you know, says leaders that are determined to improve our people's living condition. There must be a national 5-year plan for provision of light water for every home in the country, says Mr. Pintard. And that you are yearning for such leaders. He says you are yearning for a less tribal political culture. Are you? Are you yearning for less tribal political culture? Because the last I checked, some of you are actually fostering that political tribal culture. But maybe the rest, maybe the majority are not. So they are good and bad people in all political organizations. There are some issues that are bigger than both parties that require collaboration across political lines. We must show the political maturity to consult and work in the interest of the same group of Bahamians we claim to love. Now, Mr. Pintard could say this with some authenticity because in Marco City, he has certainly worked across political lines. And if he's able to bring that to bear on the national scene, that would be an achievement of leadership for sure. He says, you're yearning for leaders who recognize that their jobs are temporary and that we are called to serve people, not to be served by them. He said, none of us are entitled to lead, he says. We serve at the pleasure of our citizens. When they are ready for us to go, we ought to thank them for the honor of having been given a chance to govern. Are you yearning for such leadership? He says, you are yearning for leaders who recognize that their job, that leaders who feel their pain and understand the source of their anger, that you are yearning for leaders who feel your pain and understand the source of your anger and can empathize and who are then moved to end the pain and anguish. We must be touched by the infirmities, the afflictions, the troubles of our people. It is out of this compassion flows legislation, policies, and programs that help and heal. When our people sense that we care, they are more inclined to endure a tough decision that temporarily inconveniences them. Again, Spindara's authenticity in speaking to this, because in Marco City, he certainly demonstrated, it seemed, especially during the hurricane and during the hurricanes during the pandemic, a willingness to dig in there and feel what people were feeling and run and rescue where he could. And I think that that was part and parcel why FNMs and BLPs across the board voted for him so handsomely, notwithstanding the FNM was defeated so badly. He says, you're yearning for leadership that listens and is responsive to input from the very people who are most affected. He says, you're yearning for leaders who would put the people and country before their personal interests. Serving in parliament or leading our party is not a stepping stone for business advancement. Instead, it is a larger platform that allows us to impact more lives for better. Now, you know, there are those who would listen to that and say, is that a swipe at somebody? Were people doing that? Seeing the leadership as a stepping stone for business advancement? But he says that's the kind of leadership you're yearning for. And I went on to really talk about the kind of forward-thinking things that could be done. If they got managed, he mentioned, for instance, he said, listen, Free National Movement must be the vehicle through which the promise of a different future occurs. In order for us to succeed, we must construct a culture where there's collaboration with all FNMs. All FNMs, he said. He says, those that build the foundation with successor, those that ushered in transformation with Prime Minister Ingram, those that held it together with Turncrest, those who brought in fresh talent and ideas with Prime Minister Minnis, those who were energized by the charisma of Loretta Butler Turner, all are valued, and all that followed them are now needed if we are to rebuild, reconnect, and reunite the flame of our people. So he touched all bases, because he understands that there is a healing that must be done. There were lots of disappointed, lots of angry, lots of frustrated, lots of disgruntled, lots of demotivated Free National Movement supporters, some of whom went voted for the PLP, even if they're not PLP supporters. Some of them, many of whom just said, listen, man, I'm staying right home. And now there is a job and a task to be able to do that. Michael Pintard is one of the most gifted orators, writers, in prose you will find. And he is a motivator, has always been, as long Benny and I served together in motivating people. And no doubt that will serve him well in seeking the leadership, and if he should get it, in being the leadership. This text says, Pintard was devastatingly effective in making his case as to why he wants to be leader. A great job and a tough act to follow, without question. Without question. Okay? And, you know, I've heard comments from FNM supporters, from PLP supporters, and they were impressed. They were impressed. What is impressive to me more than anything else is, and I know Michael Pintard personally. Michael Pintard is a good friend of mine. Let me disclose it to you all. So, and if you think me biased, go right ahead. I really honestly can't do anything about that, right? We have been friends for a very long time. And when I first went to the College of the Bahamas, Michael Pintard was a senator in the student government of the College of the Bahamas, and largely influenced my, along with Joy Ferguson, now magistrate, Pratt, who more than anybody else influenced my seeking to become president of the College of the Bahamas Union of Students, which I became. And Michael Pintard was, from then, an activist, an advocate, a voice, a serious thinker about things. And so this is what is true about what he's saying, is that these are not foreign to him, either in word or in practice. That he went into Steph Street, where he resided, and had some apartment complex, and he took an area and he literally worked to transform it. It's the kind of person he is. And so he was immensely, immensely effective in announcing his candidacy. And you know, it's gonna be interesting to see what actually happens in the convention. But I think those who are contending with him have much with which to contend. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid.
Working to protect our country, our people, and our livelihoods so that we can move forward. The vaccine is safe. The vaccine is easy. The vaccine is essential for our recovery. If we want to rebuild our economy, if we want to get back to our jobs, if we want to get back to our lives, our families, we must do this together.
I ain't marched the car. The lady run into me marched the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
BK Nassau and Pepsi want to bring you a fun day on us. Upgrade your favorite combo and get a chance to win great prizes like staycations at Atlantis or Bahamar, powerboat adventure excursions, or a Blue Lagoon dolphin encounter. You can also win a relaxing day at Sandy Toes or a VIP movie experience at Fusion. Upgrade your combo at any of BK Nassau's 7 locations and enter to win at bk242.com. Win fun days with Pepsi and Burger King, where taste is king.
Hello? Yes, it's time. I know, a lot sooner than we thought. Well, that's thanks to those returns from my RF Mutual funds. You know they have some of the best performing funds in the market. Yep, with what I've been earning, I can finally set a date for my product launch. Draft the paperwork, I'm on my way.
Reach your financial goals sooner with RF Mutual funds. Sign up by November 29th for a chance to win $1,000. Find out more at rfgroup.com. RF, money at work.
Hey. You got your COVID-19 vaccine yet?
I heard that vaccine is cause you get COVID. That's true?
What? Getting the vaccine does not cause you get COVID-19. It offers protection from it. Where are you getting your information from?
Well, you know, my friends, and I in all kind of WhatsApp groups.
Listen, you need to get your facts from reliable sources like the Ministry of Health, World Health Organization, and the Pan American Health Organization. Don't get caught up in all the misinformation.
You lie. I need to go read up on them COVID-19 vaccines for myself.
Don't procrastinate. Vaccinate.
This message has been brought to you by the Ministry of Health and this radio station.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. If you want to call us, the numbers to do so are as follow. You can call us on 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316, 325-4316. Or 325-4259, 325-4259. You can also text us on 4224796. That's 4224796. So you can WhatsApp me on 4393043. Sometime in 1991, I think it was, the Free National Movement had a convention in Grand Bahama. I, as a youth leader in the country, was invited to address that convention. Actually, no. It was in 1990. I addressed that convention, but this one was in 1996 or thereabouts. 96, 96, 97, or thereabouts, when I was invited as a candidate, 29 years of age, to address the convention. And I mentioned in that convention that I would have been, at the time, the first candidate in the country who would not have been born before 1967. And everybody else who had run had been born before 1967. People like Mr. Pintad, now Michael Pintad was born before 1967, but represents that generation of, so does Kwesi Johnson, and more so Kwesi Johnson, so does Aram Lewis, that crop of leadership as exists in the Progressive Liberal Party now too, who were born nearer to 1967, even if not after 1967. I used 1967 in that speech then because it represented that year when we literally changed one regime and a very seriously challenged ideological regime to embrace a majority rule approach to governance. And so 1967 was a kind of watershed year for us. So I used it because I was born in 1967, September 7th. And so people like Michael Pintard and all the ones contending now for leadership, Aram Lewis and Kwesi Johnson. Kwesi would have been born after 1967. I'm not entirely sure whether Mr. Lewis was born before then, but I believe so. But Michael Pintard was born in 1964, Aram 1965. So Aram is a year older than Pintard. But these are new crops of leadership in terms of generational changes in leadership. And I think that in listening to Mr. Pintad, he was seeking to lay the foundation for this new thinking, this less tribal, this more problem solving, more focused on the stubborn issues, not merely trying to find low-hanging fruit from which one could pick and then try to make your way to a next election kind of leadership. And so in the talk, there is that. We've got some text here. Let me read for you. Texas, Mr. Lang. Says, Mr. Lang, I know there were many factions. Prior to last night, I am informed by many of those who were part of some of those factions prior to last night that it's over the support for Mr. Pintard and the other current candidate should. I don't know, you kind of missed something here when you were writing, so I'm trying to read it and I'm going to see if I can make sense of it. The other candidate should respectfully show solidarity and bow out of the race and support, Mr. Pintard says, that person. Okay. Texas, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. It is to Mr. Pintard's credit that he was not gratis in Dr. Minnis's eyes. Okay. You think it would have hurt him to have been favored by Mr. Minnis, Dr. Minnis? Texas, I, Shavaro, Pintard was phenomenal. He has my vote and those I am able to influence. And this is one of those people who could do so. says Lee Van Miller, no favorite of mine, has already started making innuendos on this show about a matter to do with Pinta's past, which could come up should he win. He says, the problem with our people, he could not take all the accolades that were coming into this show. We need to stop this type of smear campaign. Suck my D. Listen, man, you know, you just got to stay focused, right? And, you know, when you're in public life, you these things will happen. They, you know, and they'll come up and you know. With all the sayings that leaders in the country have had to deal with, private and not so private, I don't know how much all of that matters. If people are interested in you, people want your support, want to support you, they will support you. They will support all of you, the good, the bad, the ugly, because there are no angels among us. Those angels among us come from the Father himself. we, Paul said, listen, to say of the sinners, I am chief among them, said Paul. So we all come to life with flaws, man. All our heroes, all have had flaws, all have had issues, all have had things said truthfully and untruthfully about them. In the end, it matters the job you seek to do. If you are seeking to do the job of a politician and not a priest, then maybe the qualifications are to be a politician and not a priest. If you're seeking to be a priest and not a politician, then the qualification should be that of a priest. And the one big difference between the people in public life and the people in private life is people don't go around talking about the people in private life. Private life, they just go around talking about the people in public life. Or other lives, you know, or other things people say about them. And a lot of times, you know, in this country, we just talk about things. We say things about people. I have no clue, no evidence. You know, a young man, I told you all the other day, I was walking, and a young man stopped me and said, Mr. Lang, you know, I just wanted to ask you some questions. Well, one of the questions he asked me was this. He said, you know, so many people have said to me, so many people, I voted F&M most of my life, he said. He said, all my life, I had only voted F&M, largely because my family were F&M and I went the way of my family. He said, but people started talking to me about all the corruption in government and all the corruption in these parties. And he said, while I wouldn't vote for the PLP, I then ceased to have confidence in the F&M. And so he said to me, I didn't vote for four elections. He said, Mr. Lang, I'm asking you, is there corruption in politics? I said, firstly, let me say this to you. Yes, I think you will find corruption in law, in medicine, in the church, in all kinds of things. So yes, there's corruption in politics. I said, but if I walked up to you and I said, someone told me that you raped somebody. I said, if I then believed that solely on the basis that the person had said it to me, I said, would that be fair to you? He said, it wouldn't be fair at all. I said, well, you have evidence of the corruption on politics that made you get turned off in the way that you got turned off. Any evidence at all? He says, not really, but they told me, I was this and they gave me contract for that and the next thing. I said, oh, you mean that somebody was a part of a patronage system? I said, and you think that that's corruption? That you think that there's not a place on the planet Earth where governments exist, where people help governments to get in office, where people do not extend to those persons or some of those persons, if they are able and have the discretion to do so, some courtesies in getting and something done, and that not be corruption? It doesn't violate any law. It doesn't violate any ethical principles other than if you deprive somebody unduly for something and I can't. I said, man, that's the basis? I said, no, man, you can't be. I could give you some other things that might turn you off, but it can't be that, right? And so, you know, we just run on with all kinds of things because some of us, that's in our nature. It's what we do. So I have no doubt, like all the other contenders for leadership in the country over the years, Mr. Pintad, Mr. Lewis, and Mr. Thompson and those will do what they have to do, ignoring all that people might want put on them. You know what I mean? Jesus did it and said it best. Said it best. Night. I dare all the rest. If you are without sin, just throw your stone. Since you're so pure. You're so perfect. And you come on. Anyways, we shall see. But this new generation will have a chance to declare and to display some difference if there is a difference to be seen. This is it about oratorical skills or more about action, performance, forward vision for our country? If it isn't, that is what it should be. First of all, I keep telling you, I am so glad you raised this because I want to nail this in the casket of nonsense. This is the question, people. Listen to me, folks. This is the question that this person asked. Is it about oratorical skill? Let me ask you a question. Before Sir Lyndon became prime minister, what did he have to do to convince people to help him become prime minister? What did he do? Did he fix the country? Did he heal the country? What did he do? He spoke. It was about oratorical skills. Before Mr. Ingram was able to replace Sir Lyndon, what did he do? Could he have fixed the country? Did he make the airwaves free before he became prime minister? Did he change the licensing procedure before he became prime minister? No, he went around the country orating, speaking. And guess what happened? He impressed a hell of a lot of people, a hell of a lot of young people, liked what he was saying. Mr. Christie, you think he could have done that without being a good enough orator? But he had to orate too. Mr. Davis, Dr. Minnis, what did any of them do before they became prime minister? They had to go orate. Some were better than others. And that's why, literally, Dr. Minnis, and for the most part, did not win because of his oratory. He won because Mr. Christie was getting booted out. And largely, Mr. Davis, who is a better orator for sure, didn't get in because of his oratory. He got in because they were booting Dr. Minnis out. Now, when we go and talk about how proud we are of our Prime Minister, Prime Minister Davis, what are we talking about? Not merely things he's doing, we're talking about his oratory in many places because oratory matters. Y'all stop that nonsense. If you are going to be in a chamber called the House of Assembly, what do you do in there other than orate? What do? You orate and you vote. Don't let anybody tell you. Don't fool yourself. It matters to have good and strong oratorical skills in politics. It matters in leadership. It matters in diplomacy. And only people who don't have it try to undermine it because they don't have it and they need you to look at something else. Is it the only thing you need? No, it's not. Can you succeed without it? Yes, you can. But it is a marvelous gift to have. It is a marvelous tool to have. It is an important tool to have when you are seeking to deal with people who you must communicate with regularly, with people who you must debate with consistently and so forth. So no, brother, sister, don't try it. It's not the only thing, but it's a very important thing, especially if you want to get there, because you are not going to get there without 90% of the times orating. What do you think all those speechifying is about? The rallies and stuff are about the addresses and the interviews. What do you think that's about? It's for persuasive purposes. That's what it's for? So no, I'm sorry. Not accepting that rationale. Being a good orator is very important. I can tell you this much. I will say this to you. Had Dr. Minnis been stronger at it, he may have fared much better in his prime ministership. Dr. Minnis and his administration made some good policies, as is being confirmed now by the Davis administration, but Dr. Menezes, his ability to articulate, to move people through oratory and the like, is that diminished ability did not serve him well. And it could have served him better. Prime Minister, the late Sir Lyndon Pendling, probably lasted as Prime Minister longer than he ought to have because his oratory was so strong. He could move people, motivate people, compel people, and he did. Mr. Ingram, not the orator Sir Lyndon was, but was a gifted speaker, and he impressed people. So no, don't let anybody fool you, Jack. I can guarantee you that most leaders who aren't good orators wish they were. This Texas Great Show, as usual, we all have a power. Some just more messed up than others.
Yeah.
Some of us have a present. Forget the past. Have a present. It's Texas, Mr. Lang, with due respect, compare Pendling and Ingram with others. It's not fair. They had a fight to change things. Today, leaders are winning from hate of the other party, not for fighting for a fighting cause. No, I don't agree with that at all. I don't accept that at all. Say, I respect you, but listen to my reasoning. If Christy Holm, I respect, he didn't win because he could solve things, but the country got tired of 10 years of Ingram. But that's what I said. You and I are not different of disagreeing on that. I wasn't comparing Ingram and Sir Lyndon to anyone. I was talking about their oratory, and I'd served them well, or you missed that old point. Right? And that's what I'm saying. I'm saying you and I agree. Their oratory served them well. And it is a mistake. Let me, if you are a person in leadership, if you're a person aspiring toward leadership, and you believe that your ability to communicate publicly and privately is deficient, let me suggest something to you. Go and strengthen it. You can. It is possible. You can strengthen it. You can take courses. You can watch videos. You can read books. You can practice and rehearse, and you can become a better orator. You can become a better communicator. It is possible. All right, and it helps. If you are a parent and you want to advance your children's possibility to succeed, if you want to help them be stronger, be wiser, be smarter, help them improve their communication skills, help them to improve their public communication skills. I have had in my youth leadership program any number of children who said that what they were before they came to the program and what they were after they went through the program was so much different. Why? Because of their ability now to publicly communicate, they felt more confident. They felt like a go-getter. They felt like they could do things. So don't let nobody fool you. Don't let no one fool you, Jack. Those who can't speak well, oftentimes, especially if they're contending for leadership, wish they could speak well. Ms. Texas, I'm comparing today's runners to what? Say, but I like I told you before, I like Pintard. His speaking is always refreshing. Yeah. It's important. It won't get you everything, won't get all the job done, but It's important. And it's serving Prime Minister Davis well too. Like he's not electric, right? But he's capable of speaking ever so calmly, ever so authentically connected to his words, and seems so deliberate, you know, that one wants to lean in and to hear him. And so don't let anybody fool you. It helps, and it will help Michael Pendard. Mind you, Kwesi Thompson is also a very good speaker, let me say. I know him well. He's also a very good speaker. And he can be quite electric too as a speaker. And but you know, so we'll see how all of this plays out. Spindad said, tonight I'm offering for leader to ensure that the Bahamas is fully engaged in the development of the blue and orange economies. He says, I'm offering tonight to protect and more effectively utilize our natural resources. Hitting all the buzzwords. Say, I'm offering to be leader to ensure that we protect our marine environments. That's the Minister of Agriculture and his training and him coming up. And I am offering for leader because our team has a clear strategic plan to address food security. Again, the Minister of Agriculture and the agriculture professional, this professional training coming out of him. Says, tonight I'm offering for leader because many of our people continue to struggle, having been deprived of economic opportunities to change their fortunes. Okay? Tell you, he's trying to take up the big toil issues. Good luck. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. We're going to take a break for news. And when we come back, we will continue our discussions. We'll be back after this news break.
Take a step, everybody, everybody. Come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shavago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, please feel free to do so on any of the following numbers. You can call us on 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. I have a text here that says, some people look for substance, but most like sound. Ask me, I serve white and black people. We have another interesting text here. This person says, listen to this, folks. Oh, they must say, don't want me to read this. This text says, so Shivago, I listened to Michael Pindad's speech at his meeting last night to announce his candidacy for FNM. What's hiring? Says, I'm predicting that in 2026, after Brave Davis has served his one and only term in office as Prime Minister, Michael Pindad will serve two terms, just like Hubert Ingraham. Okay. If I could hear Michael Pindad listening to that right now and say, man, listen, hold your horses, let's get past at least this thing we're trying to do right now first. Okay. So I wanted to point to what I regard as a bit of a policy lesson. Because y'all know I like to teach, you know. So Mr. Alfred says, who is the Minister of Public Works, who has responsibility for the Water and Sewage Corporation, said that when the Water and Sewage Corporation made a determination to cut off some folks, that he knew nothing about, he was not consulted on it, is what he said. He said he was not consulted, right? So he was not consulted. And so I thought that that raised some very interesting questions, okay? Because it speaks to the kind of conflict that exists in our governance structure that we can't seem to get past. Okay? On the one hand, the government of the Bahamas says, okay, we need these utility companies to be run more like private sector entities so that they can achieve the efficiency and effectiveness we require them to have so that people could have quality water, quality power, and the like, even quality medicine. So we form these corporations in law, by statute or otherwise. We vest them with their own ability to borrow money and to enter into contracts and to do the necessary that they need. And we give them boards to attend to their affairs. And largely we want them to be operated separate and apart from the politics, because what politician is going to say to a soul, I'm going to cut your water off? What politician is going to say that? That's my constituent. If it's not my constituent, it's my colleague's constituent. I can't get past it. What politician is going to look in the eyes of a citizen of the country and say, I'm going to cut your water off? So no, what the politicians do is they buffer themselves from that reality by appointing or creating these corporations. And the corporations then have people who are deemed kind of private sector and removed from that everyday kind of thing. And they are therefore not intimate with these folks, and they're not going to be elected by these folks. And they can make that decision. They hire professional management so the professional management can operate the company and be not interfered with by politicians. That is the theory of the case. That's the theory of the case. That's the premise for these public corporations. But then the corporations start acting like a corporation that says, okay, we have policies. If you don't pay over a period of time, we cut you off. But then somebody says, but that corporation is owned by the government, and that corporation is owned by the government, and I hire the government. So somebody call up and say, well, child, minister, you know, they kind of cut me off. And so the minister makes a call and say, you can't do that. You can't do that. That's so-and-so. You can't do that. Give them a break. Work something out. Now the corporation is being run by the politician, and you're back to square one. Somebody calls and says, but you know, I'd like to go to job for my son or my daughter to the corporation. And the minister says, well, let me see what I can do. Boom, you hire 3, 4, 5, 6, and you only needed 2. Now the corporation is being run like a political machinery. But you were trying to get away from that in creating the corporation in the first place. And then we wonder why the corporations then look like the creatures we didn't design them to look like. Because my son is discovering the wonders of silent phones. So Mr. Says, on the one hand, says, when they decided to make cut off these people, I was not consulted. The question is, why should he have been? Why should he have been consulted? As a political directorate with responsibility for the corporation, but the corporation can't cut you off unless you have breached their policies of non-payment, why should he have been consulted? Why? Is that how we want to run the country? Is that what we want to do? Now, let me say before you all think I'm criticizing Mr. Says, I'm not. Because there is a legitimate reason why a political directorate, the government, might want its corporation to consult it on some matters. If you're cutting off a single person, maybe, okay, that's a single person. If you're making a broad policy, like if you're doing a broad cutoff, somebody might argue, if you're going to affect that many people, I'd like to know you're going to affect that many people, because I would not like to be surprised by such a thing. I may not be willing to do anything about it because I'm in agreement with your policy to do it, but at least let me know that these are the circumstances, this is what's happened, so that if I have to speak to it, I can speak to it. So I can understand why you might wish to be alerted to. And if you decide that as the political directorate for the corporation, we would like to see the corporation's policy change so that the corporation doesn't take the decision that is taken, there's a way to do that. You go to cabinet, you say to your cabinet colleagues, here's what we're confronted with, and the cabinet decides, no, we don't want to go that direction, ask them to change the policy. You have a right to do that. You are the trustees of the people of the Bahamas and therefore the responsible party for these corporations. So I could see why that would happen, but it is a thin line though. It's a thin line, and this is part of the conundrum. This is part of the seesawing that happens with us and these corporations, and why probably we can't get past being able to get it right. Because it's a conflict, it's an inherent conflict. Politicians strive on popularity. People who have to be cut off are not going to feel very good about being cut off, and aren't going to like the people who cut them off, and aren't going to like the people who are responsible for the people who cut them off. And so you can have this constant tension with it doing the right thing, which is having a policy that encourages people to comply, or so that the corporation can continue to be viable, and not cutting off people, because that's just heartless people saying, man, people need their power. And so forth. And no politician wants to be in that position, but every single day a politician is in that position. And we get on these shows, you know, people call in, text in, pontificate about how these corporations aren't run well, et cetera. And the truth of the matter is, you don't want to hear Shivago like say, I'm going to tell you, many times these corporations are run the way people want it to be run, because when the corporations try to do the right things for themselves, those things work against people, and those people have political interests, and they go and use their political interests to cause the corporation to do things that work against the corporation, and therefore you end up with messed up corporations. Constant battle. That conflict, that inherent political conflict that exists for the policymaker. They didn't consult me. Why should they have consulted you? Well, I'd like to know these things. Of course you would like to know these things. But now, should you be willing to do something? How do you decide? How do you decide what's the right thing to do? How do you decide? What's the policy measures, metrics that you're gonna use and apply to decide what to do right? Text a headline, I believe Aaron Lewis will bow out soon. I can't see him beating Pintard. He will only take 4 or 5 votes from Pintard. He will win and win big. All right, you must be effing Emmy. This text says, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. Oratory skills and charisma equals Pinden, Ingram, and Christie. If you are a leader who can't talk, your overall message will fall flat. It's true. Oftentimes, you don't have to be, I mean, like I said, it's not absolutely essential, but, you know, it is a good tool to have. Texas, Mr. Lang, you know what it is to get cut off on Xmas Day or during holiday. I know exactly what it is because I had a lady when I was a member of parliament came to me on the evening of Christmas Eve, not the morning, the evening of Christmas Eve. And that said to me, her light was cut off. Now, you're a member of parliament, and somebody comes to you with that. Ooh, on Christmas Eve, you're shopping, trying to get them last minute gifts for your son, your children, your daughter, your wife. You're trying to get your house ready, get your stuff done, and so forth and so forth. On Christmas Eve, what do you think you do about that? You move heaven and earth? That's which I did. Move heaven and earth. And sure enough, she had power on Christmas Day. That's why I'm telling you, it is an inherent contradiction for us in these circumstances. It would be better for the efficient and effective running of these entities that they are entirely private sector. Better for them. But that will invoke some very hard and careless occasions when decisions have to be made that will affect people who cannot afford at a time or times to do something. But I want you all to be very clear on this, quite clear. Listen to me, please. As I listen to the population talk about what they want in government, what they want out of their political leadership, I hear this yearning for a kind of Puritan conduct in government. You know what I mean? Just be all entirely honest. Be entirely fair. Be efficient. Run the thing efficiently. Don't waste money. Don't make political decisions. Just do the right thing as if the right thing is for, in the sphere of politics and governance and people business, always so black or white. You know, the Pharisees operated on that basis, you know. And the Pharisees were so rigid about their beliefs about things that a Pharisee would say to you, listen, this is the Sabbath day. You don't do work on the Sabbath day. I don't care if you're trying to rescue that man. You're not supposed to be working on the Sabbath day. So what should happen? Let that man stay there in the field and hopefully the Sabbath will pass and he won't die before the Sabbath day pass and you could go and rescue him then. But don't rescue him on the Sabbath. Don't heal him on the Sabbath day. Remember how they mash up Jesus for healing on the Sabbath day? How dare you? How dare you? How dare you heal on the Sabbath day? It's the same kind of thing where you say, well, you got to be straight-laced with things and so forth and so forth, and you got to let the policies run their course. Yes, and that 67-year-old woman who came into some economic hardship, who cannot afford to pay for her electricity bill, who comes to you and says, I need help on Christmas Eve, you're supposed to just let that ride. You're not going to do it. You're not going to do it. So even when we are in opposition, we speak with these Puritan voices about how things are being run and how things are being confuddled up by politics and victimization and all kind of stuff like that. And then we come to office and we find ourselves in the same conflicted circumstances, making basically the same decisions. Why? Because when the human element comes into it, you are making judgments. Some of them pure politics, and some of them just pure human judgments. So that Puritan governance you seek, you could get closer to it. But getting there, I don't know. They did not consult me. Should they have? Is that what you want them to do? Is that what you want them to do? You want corporations to be consulting politicians every time they have to make a decision about whether to turn your light off, your power off, your water off, your dust off for the next thing? Should they have to consult? And if they do, what are the circumstances? How about we just have some rules about it? Here is where you don't come to me. Listen to me. When I was Minister of State for Finance, we have some callers on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Good afternoon. How are you, my brother?
Hey, I'm right here, my friend. How are you?
My doing fantastic. Enjoying this conversation today, Shivago. Just wanted to make two quick contributions here. Firstly, you know, in terms of oratory skills, I'm going to tell you it's very essential, especially when you're trying to convey your vision or your dream across to persons. And this is something that we have to credit the great Philinden for. We can credit Perry Christie for, because he has very good oratory skills. And we could now see that even Philip Brave Davis seems to have his skills, whom many of us have thought that he did not have. But obviously, this 11th hour, they all came out. It is this skill that is very essential to get your vision and your dream out to the people, to the persons whom you are impacting. So that skill is essential. You got to give it to like Sir Lyndon. You know, he had the country for 25 years, roughly. And to give him the credit, not only did he have oratory skills, he also had people kind of shared in the vision that he had for the country, because he laid it out in simple terms. He also had the type of persona in terms of, you know, the coin, the common man touch. He also had a way to talk to people and deal with people. And that's what made him one of those prime ministers that is highly revered in the country. Lastly, in terms of going forward, you know, you talked about Michael Pintard just now as well. Michael Pintard is right now epitomizing roughly the same thing, because he's getting his message out there. He's also letting people share in some of the vision that he has, even though they are just things that he hoped to accomplish. But he's getting persons to actually envision what it is that he wants to do, and also to see where they will buy in or tie into it. And that is very important as well. So, you know, before we...
Did we lose him? Do we have another call on the line? Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you. I don't know. I'm not sure what happened, sir. Go ahead, caller.
Good afternoon, Mr. Lang. I fully endorse Mr. Pintard. In fact, I made it public on Guardian Radio about a week after the election, and I saw the seven that was left, and I made the judgment call, and I said, I would like to see Pintard as leader and Chandran Cartwright as deputy. I made that call weeks ago, before the FNM council even came together and decided to allow the former prime minister to take the party back into parliament as opposition leader. And I rightfully think he is the best choice for the party going forward at the moment. I listened to him on Guardian Radio this morning. I caught a portion of what he did last night. But in my humble opinion, I think that should be the combination. Should be Michael Pintard for leadership. Sharon Cartwright should be deputy leader. And I think that's the way it should be. That's my humble opinion, and I fully support those two.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Appreciate your calling. You're going to see soon enough what, in fact, happens. We'll see. I started to tell you all a story about when I was in the Ministry of Finance, but I'm getting old now, so older, and my memory, you know, your memory doesn't have to favor the age, but to some degree mine is. So if I remember, I can come back to it. Ms. Tech says, hi, good day. Could Mr. Sayers have said that because it was a policy position taken by the previous administration? Meaning maybe if it was business as usual with the Water and Sewage Corporation pre-policy position, there would be a need to get involved at all. Not sure, just wondering if this isn't a special circumstance. It could be, could well be. But I wasn't, again, I'm not criticizing Mr. Sayers at all. I thought it was a great opportunity just to make a point about what the corporations were intended to do versus what they end up being. Oh, that's what I was going to tell you. When I was at the Ministry of Finance, I had responsibility for the National Insurance Board. I had responsibility for the Bahamas Development Bank. And I never had occasion to contact either of them with a view to directing them in any direction, to get clarification on something, to prompt them about something, but seldom, those boards ran those entities as was required. And that was a policy position that Mr. Ingram essentially had. If we made any interventions, it was a case that was brought to our attention, and the judgment being made that seeking clarification from the corporation was required, or indicating to the corporation whether or not a modified position could be taken. But largely, they ran with. So I'm saying that's the intention of these corporations. So Bahamas Air, Water and Sewage, PHA, Bahamas Development Bank, Bank of Bahamas, which the government has a significant stake in. The intention is that these things should be able to operate with less political influence. But over time, depending on the administration, sometimes you get more or less interference. It is especially possible that you get the kind of interference, and I use interference not as a negative way, it could be negative or positive. You get the kind of interference when you appoint politicians to head these entities. And so, yes, you might be right. Maybe there was a political decision, a policy decision made to establish a policy. And well, in which case, if the corporation got it from the government, then it should have consulted the government if it wanted to change that policy. So you could be right, I don't know. This text says, great show as usual, Mr. Lang. I think they should make a law against sending someone any bill around Christmas, especially mortgage. Really? You want a law against giving people money, lending people money around Christmas time as well? You can't have one or the other, right? You can't have one and not the other. If it isn't illegal to lend me money at Christmas time, why should it be illegal for you to get your bill at Christmas time? If it isn't illegal for me to give you power at Christmas time, why is it illegal for me to give you your bill at Christmas time if that's when it falls due? Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll continue our discussion. We'll be back after this break.
We are working to protect our country, our people, and our livelihoods so that we can move forward. The vaccine is safe. The vaccine is easy. The vaccine is essential for our recovery. If we want to rebuild our economy, if we want to get back to our jobs, if we want to get back to our lives,
our families. We must do this together.
Hello? Yes, it's time. I know a lot sooner than we thought. Well, that's thanks to those returns from my RF Mutual funds. You know they have some of the best performing funds in the market. Yep, with what I've been earning, I can finally set a date for my product launch. Draft the paperwork, I'm on my way.
Reach your financial goals sooner with RF Mutual Funds. Sign up by November 29th for a chance to win $1,000. Find out more at rfgroup.com. RF, money at work.
Sheila, you okay? I see smoke coming from your window.
Chad, Johnny Moe's burning down the house frying chicken.
Your kitchen is a mess. You have insurance?
If I have insurance, I pulled my phone out, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app, and in no time, I was on live chat with RSA rep, sent pics of the damage, filed my claim on the spot.
Wow, I don't think my insurance got that kind of...
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
The Water and Sewage Corporation advises its customers that the corporation will commence disconnection of all outstanding accounts beginning Monday, November 15th, 2021, in both New Providence and the Family Islands. Customers with outstanding accounts and financial agreements are requested to ensure that their accounts and financial agreements are brought up to date as soon as possible to avoid an interruption in service. Should you need to speak with a customer representative, please visit their mall at Milethorne location or the corporation's head office on University Boulevard between the hours of 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. Monday through Friday, or via local banks, the corporation's website, pay by phone by dialing 302-5630 or any cash and go, Omni Flash Cash or Sun Cash locations.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, we'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm. Let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. If you want to give us a call at all, please feel free to do so on any of the following numbers. You can call me on 323-6232 or 325-4316. 325-4259. You can also text me on 422-4796 or WhatsApp me on 439-3043. That's 439-3043. Interesting times in which we live. I'm gonna get off this political wicket for a while after today. I mean, unless something really, really, really interesting comes up. There are some other things that I think could be helpful that we could turn to and talk about. It's always gonna be a dominant topic in the country because we have an interest for sure in what the government is doing. I think we harm our psyches by the domination of the political in our dialogue. I really do. I think because what it tends to do is it makes the political seem so incredibly dominant in the actual realities that form our situations in the country, right? I got a job because of the government. I don't have a job because of the government. I have a house because of the government. I don't have a house because of the government. I have an education because of the government. I don't have an education because of the government. And you could just go down the list, and it's just almost everything turns on the government. And I think that that is largely because of the media. When I say media, I don't mean the press, and then I mean like the various media, the various avenues in which we get our information and the way we dialogue, that those avenues are so dominated by political news, by political happenings, by political considerations. Now we seldom see the bulk of our lives separate and apart from the politics. And so, you know, at some point, I lie to you. Like, I think to myself, do you want to go at this again? Do you want to go take this up again? Because there are other things you could talk about. There are other things that can be of interest. There are other things that can be helpful. There are other things that can be empowering beyond the politics, right? And if we could give some consideration to those, maybe somebody might find the means beyond the politics to get the help they need to make the progress that they need. And I think it's hard because you try it on these shows and you always go right back to the politics. Ask my brother Juan. You try, you bring a topic and boy, it ain't gonna be long before you're right back to the politics. But we can try. There's some topics. Like for instance, if you're raising boys today, if you're raising boys, I mean, like if you're somebody who has a 11-year-old, 12-year-old, 13-year-old, 14-year-old, 15-year-old boy, man, couldn't you use some help figuring out some things that could be done to raise them better? I'm not saying you're not raising them well, but what if you could get a handle on how to raise boys well? Now, I'm not saying the girls don't have to be raised well, because girls have to be raised well too, really do. And there must be a way to do that too. In fact, there should be a way to do it. There must be a way to do that too. I was just focusing on boys for the moment, because when you look at some of the social challenges that we have, especially in the way of crime and violence in the society, so many of those feature our males, right? And the solution to those can't be, oh, the government need to, oh, the government need to, oh, the government need to, all the time. So I'm going to do a show on raising boys. Listen, I'm not saying you don't have to raise girls, right? I'm going to find a show to do raising girls too. But I know a little bit more about raising boys, right? We can talk about some of that. Another thing, right? People in this country are hurting economically. And the government ain't entirely altogether the blame. Some of it don't have to do with the government. Wouldn't it be good if you could find out ways, methods to improve your own income earning ability? Like, if you could find that out, if you could know. Listen, if somebody said to you, listen, sit down right here for 2 hours and I'm going to tell you some things you could do to make yourself more prosperous. Would you not sit down for 2 hours? Would you not yearn for? Would you not watch out for that show? Yes, you would. Who wouldn't do that? Yes, you would. You could talk about that. And rather than do the government, right? Mental wellness is a problem. Now, I'm not talking about the kind of mental wellness alone that has young men and young women doing extreme kinds of things that indicate to us that they are not well. You know, like we'd like to call them like crazy. I'm not talking about that alone. I'm telling you that there are people listening to me right now today who are mentally unwell and don't know it, do not realize it, cannot figure out why the anxiety in their life is so intense and persistent, who can't figure out why can I not sleep? Why do I fall asleep and wake up and can't get back to sleep? Why can't I fall asleep to begin with? Why do I fall asleep and stay asleep for such a short period of time and just in and out of sleep? Why am I unable to find clarity in the course of any given day as I try to think through work, as I try to think about my home and try to think about the things I'm doing? There are people who can't understand why am I so dysfunctional when it comes to the relationships I have. It doesn't matter if it's my lover or my friend or my family. I just can't get, there are people who can't understand why I hate my mommy, why I hate my daddy, why I hate my brother, why I hate my sister. So can't understand why am I so jealous? Why am I so envious? Well, people can't understand why can't I not, why am I ruminating on the same negative thing over and over and over and over again? And what do I have to do to break this cycle? They can't do it because, and don't realize that they're mentally unwell. Doesn't mean you, in quote, crazy. Doesn't mean that you have to be medicated. It just means that the mechanics of managing your internal affairs is not either known or well known enough to be able to do something about it. I have an associate's degree in chemistry and biology. I have a bachelor's degree in economics. I have a master's degree in business administration. I have postgraduate studies in all kinds of ways. I've done training in all kinds of things. And I can tell you that I am learning every single day how to be more mentally well. I have needed to be. And let me tell you why it's so important. It's not only important for me, and God knows I matter, so it's important for me. It's important for all the people around me, especially my children. I have a 13-year-old son, especially him. You know, I was speaking to my son the other day, and I said to him, I said, you know, Xavier, I want you to be a smart young man. But I don't want you to think that when I say smart, I mean as in quote, book smart. I want you to have that too. I want you to know your math. I want you to know your English. I want you to know your history. I want you to know these kinds of things too. I want you to be able to count and recall facts. I said, but what I want you to be, when I say smart, I want you to start with being able to self-heal. And so I explained to him what self-heal means. I said, you know, as you go through this life, you encounter negative things, you encounter challenges, you experience things that make you sad, you've experienced things that make you angry, you experience things that give you great anxiety, you experience that even now as a child. But what I want you to learn is how to be able to heal yourself in the face of those things, so that you can maintain peace within, pleasantness within yourself. I said, you understand what I mean? He said, I do. And so this is part of trying to be mentally well. So these, so there are ways. We have great people trained in these things who can help us do that. And so many of us, the quality of our lives, listen to me, some people who got money, plenty money, the quality of their life is significantly diminished. They are poor because their mental wellness is compromised. And then you have people who are rich, who are poor, who are having a blast on the planet because their mental wellness is rich. So we can speak to those things. We have need to grow and build a community. And I'm talking about, I'm not talking about a neighborhood of good-looking houses and so forth. I'm talking about collections of people who share an interest in their collective well-being and who will work toward that, and who understands that that starts with a home that is well, or seeking to be well, connecting to other homes that are well and seeking to be well. Same little son of mine, I remind him some days, but you know, my older children are not here, so he's the youngest one here. and remind them. I say, you see this place, this home, this is your haven. And you ought to look at it every day and think, what can I do? What does it need to be able to meet my needs, to be able to help me be a happy, happy, content, and thriving soul? I said, every day you ask yourself that, if that means you're changing around your room a little bit, or adding this, or taking away that, et cetera, that's what you should be asking, because this is your haven. This is the place you go to get rest from all that's outside. All the lack of safety, all the lack of trust, all the lack of provision and all that kind of stuff that you sense out there, you're supposed to come in here and feel like, okay, this is home. Because home is supposed to be where you matter, and where your heart and your mind are at rest. We can talk about those things, right? We could talk about how to heal ourselves from all the pain and hurt we've caused ourselves and caused other people, and other people have caused us. And how to have better and more meaningful and relationships. And how to heal from broken relationships. We could talk about those things. So there are a host of things that we could talk about beyond the politics that can be of benefit to us. And so my hope is, going forward, we'd press some of those things. Why don't we still pay attention to the politics? We'd also pay attention to some other things. We listen to the C-Live, we can take our final break, and then when we come back, we wrap up the show. We'll be back after this final break.
Are working to protect our country, our people, and our livelihoods so that we can move forward. The vaccine is safe. The vaccine is easy. The vaccine is essential for our recovery. If we want to rebuild our economy, if we want to get back to our jobs, if we want to get back to our lives, our families, we must do this together.
Hello? Yes, it's time. I know a lot sooner than we thought. Well, that's thanks to those returns from my RF Mutual Funds. You know they have some of the best performing funds in the market. Yep, with what I've been earning, I can finally set a date for my product launch. Draft the paperwork, I'm on my way.
Reach your financial goals sooner with RF Mutual Funds. Sign up by November 29th for a chance to win $1,000. Find out more at rfgroup.com. RF, money at work.
Sheila, you okay? I see smoke coming from your window.
Chad, Johnny Mo's burning down the house frying chicken.
Your kitchen is a mess. You have insurance?
If I have insurance, I pulled my phone out, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app, and in no time, I was on live chat with RSA rep. Sent pics of the damage, filed my claim on the spot.
Wow, I don't think my insurance got that kind of...
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
The Water and Sewage Corporation advises its customers that the corporation will commence disconnection of all outstanding accounts beginning Monday, November 15th, 2021, in both New Providence and the Family Islands. Customers with outstanding accounts and financial agreements are requested to ensure that their accounts and financial agreements are brought up to date as soon as possible to avoid an interruption in service. Should you need to speak with a customer representative, please visit their Mall at Milethorne location or the corporation's head office on University Boulevard between the hours of 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. Monday through Friday, or via local banks, the corporation's website, pay by phone by dialing 302-5630 or any Cash & Go, Omni Flash Cash, or Sun Cash locations.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, then you know that you're not alone. Holla
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivar Walang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. If you want to call in these last remaining moments of the show, please feel free to do so on any of the following numbers. You might have some ideas about what you want to hear and discuss. I'd be happy to take those too. You can call us on 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can also text us on 422-4796 or WhatsApp me on 439-3043. We want to be able to discuss things that can make us all smarter. Let me tell you something. It is as clear as day to me. Whatever issue you have in your life, whatever problem, whatever challenge exists in your life that's annoying you, that's frustrating you, that's making you anxious, if you aren't getting rid of that problem, it's simply because you're not smart enough. And I'm not smart enough. So we have to get smarter. Now, what do I mean by smarter? I mean, if there is a way to fix a problem, then smart is knowing how to fix the problem. That's all it is. I'm not talking about having a bachelor's or master's or doctorate. I'm talking about having the knowledge, the understanding, and the capacity to fix the problem. So let me give you an example of this. I don't know what happened, but 4 weeks ago, I went to this text says, I scared, I want all politics. Say, just teasing. I know all of us want to say, we can talk some politics. So about 4 weeks ago, I went to do some push-ups. Because Jack, I believe in having health and energy. So I went to do some push-ups, and man, I had the sharp pain in my arm. And it didn't go away. It's been like 4+ weeks now. And every time I lift the arm, it's a problem. And it started to become really irritating, even though it was in like a really strong pain or anything of that nature, but it was just annoying. And I talked to my daughter who's studying exercise science. And she said, Daddy, you should probably go and have that looked at because it's been too long. You need to go and have it looked at. So I did. I went to the doctor, an orthopedic specialist. And on examination, he said, you have a rotator cuff problem. And that, at some point it may be necessary to get an MRI, but in this first instance, we want you to do some therapy because we are often able to resolve this with therapy. Okay. Now, I set up the therapy sessions. I go to the therapy. They give me some exercises to do, and then they do some stuff with me when I'm there. Now, listen to me, folks. The exercises are not complicated. In fact, some of the therapy things that I've done, you might think you're a child when they ask you to do it, like take a ring and put it from one side of a arch to the next side of an arch, right? Simple, very simple stuff. Nothing, stuff you could do at home if you, I mean, nothing complicated. But I didn't know. I wasn't smart enough. But it's been a couple of days and I've already seen relief from doing it. But I didn't get the relief before. Why? I wasn't smart enough. I didn't know. And if I knew I could do this stuff without having gone to them and I didn't need to buy any fancy equipment to do it, I didn't know. It just goes to show if there is a problem in our individual lives, in our family life, in our communities, in our nation, if the problem persists, it's because we're not smart enough. We don't know how to fix it. And what does that then lead us to? Go find out how to fix it. Now, there are some things that can't be fixed because we are unwilling to do the necessary to fix. We aren't willing to put the right action in, the right effort in. So we can't fix it merely because we lack the discipline. But you don't even get there without the knowing. Because if you don't know what to do, you can't even know if you don't have the discipline to not do it. So we want to get smarter. The country needs to be smarter. Why should our phones be smart and us not? Why should our phones get smarter and us not? Why should our cars get smart? I have a lock. The lock is smart. You know what that means? That the lock finds ways to fix itself when something goes wrong or alert me, right? Why should our homes be smart? Why should our homes have the ability to alter its temperature automatically when it falls below or goes above a certain temperature? Why should the homes be smart and we're not? Why should our dryers and washers be smart and we're not, or smarter? We are creating these smart devices, so shouldn't we be smart people? We're not going to celebrate dumbness no more. We're not going to treat smart like some pariah. We're not going to treat smart like it's a curse. Smart is good because it helps us fix things. And the unpleasantness that exists in us, in our families, in our communities, in our nation, in our world, the unpleasantness comes because things are not fixed. They're not functioning as they ought to function. And so I want fixed up. You know, ultimately what we strive for in this life, we strive for pleasantness within and pleasantness without. That's what we strive for. That for us is a good life. Pleasantness within. My mind is not tormenting me and terrorizing me. My thoughts are not torturing me. Inside, I don't feel irritated or ill. I feel happiness. I feel joy. I feel pleasant. My environment, as poor as I am, is as pleasant as I can make it, and it does look good to my eyes. It does feel good to my eyes. I'm doing what I can. And even in the striving to make it better, there is a good feeling that comes to me because I'm striving to make it better. Pleasantness within, pleasantness without is what we strive for. We call it happiness. And when we can do it despite our circumstances, we call it joy. When we can do it in the hope and expectation that something good is going to happen to us, we call that joy. And at some point, all this talking and all this doing has to be about creating that individual and collective pleasantness within and without for us. You all have a great evening. God bless you. Thank you for listening. So glad you could join us today. Mahasha Black is up next. You've been listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. Please, please, please take care of yourselves. Be good. We'll be back tomorrow. God spares life.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand.